Father, we ask that you'd bless this study, Lord, to our hearts tonight, that, Father God, that we would be people living in these days that would have lives attractive for the world to see. Lord, that this world that is hurting and crisis and so disjointed in so many ways, but the truth is, if we don't have a strong home front, we don't have anything. And Lord, we pray that tonight you would just instill within us just the magnitude of how important it is that we nurture our relationships. So, Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Anybody visiting for the first time tonight, we won't embarrass you. Just raise your hand. God bless you. And those of you who in the back and those of you who won't raise your hand, God bless you as well. And for those all that are joining us on the His Channel broadcast tonight, that's awesome. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. We are in a series that you know about, and it's called a series in that it is the Life and Bible series, meaning that the Scriptures apply to our lives. And how so? And we are looking at Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 9 to 14 as our theme verses for what we are marching through in that, how does the Word of God, the Bible, apply to our day-to-day lives? And is it really that applicable and alive? The Bible says of itself that it is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. That is, the Bible has the ability, because it's not a book, listen, it's not a book written by man. It is a book that is written or authored by God, who used men to write it. That's why the Bible tonight, and every night for that matter, is without error. The Bible has no errors in it. People will say, oh, the Bible's got full of errors. Listen, if you can find an error in the Bible, you'll be a millionaire, billionaire. Find some. You'll be the only person to ever discredit the Word of God. The Bible has not only stood the test of time, it will stand the test of time. It is God's holy word. The bizarre thing is that it is absolutely perfectly true, and God used men filled with the Holy Spirit, says the Bible, to author the Scriptures, that is, to write them down. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, breathed through them, and the authorship of the Word of God was written down. And so we look at Colossians chapter 1, follow along with me, beginning at verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, what a great prayer, with the knowledge of His will, that is, to know what to do, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, that is, putting up with the things of this world with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. That's good news, my friends, because you can't save yourself. God saves us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even, says the Bible, the forgiveness of sins. Building upon every week that we've been together thus far in these Wednesday nights, Life in the Bible series. Remember, we looked at being a Christian at our jobs. Remember that? And if you weren't here, you got to listen to that, because your employer will be thankful and you will be thankful. Because as a Christian, our witness ought to shine forth at our jobs. And secondly, we looked at our relationships, that being a Christian in our relationships really matters. And in that, we look predominantly at being a single, but not exclusively. And as we go through this study, we'll touch on and many times throughout the course of this series regarding being a single or a married person and all of that. So nothing set in stone exactly. And then last time we got together, we looked at being a Christian in your home. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Many of us have a view of Christ or God or the Bible based upon what we saw, either in a good way in our homes or in a bad way. And home life is a very powerful thing. I mentioned to you before that an MTV World poll that was done in 2008, they asked on this MTV poll, what was the most important thing that matters to you as a young person? And they had like a list of 10 things to pick from. And an overwhelming majority of worldwide young people said a family. Number one was a family. They want a family. They believe that their future and the future of the world was dependent upon a strong, healthy family. And I thought that was quite wise. And in our study last time, we were planning on getting all the way through, but you guys got out of hand, if you remember. But we looked at this. We looked at what is a marriage. That God is the one who designed marriage, and He designed it for a very specific purpose. And inside that confines or that institution of marriage, there are some things that a marriage is to achieve. And of course, there are many, but we only touched on a few. Number one was this, that what is a marriage? It is a picture. And the Bible tells us that God speaks to us in the Bible and in life regarding a marriage. In fact, in the Old Testament, He says, God the Father says, He's married to Israel. He's married to Israel. And it's a picture of the closest kind of relationship that we can have on earth that mimics what we can have with God. The Bible also says, as you know, that Jesus Christ is engaged to the church, or what is known as the bride of Christ throughout the New Testament. Secondly, we saw that it is a covenant. Marriage is not a contract, it is a covenant. We talked about that. We're going to put a quote up on the wall there, on the screens, I should say. And it says this, that marriage is a spiritual covenant relationship between a man and a woman that has been created and defined by God Himself as revealed in the Bible. God created you, a male, and you, a female, for a great reason. And we're looking at these things as we go through this study. And thirdly, we looked at the fact that it's a foundation. That if a family is fragmented and very crazy, messed up, with no direction, no purpose, no stability, there's no foundation in that family, then unfortunately the children come out of that family often wanderers. The stats show us that so many children come out of homes that are broken or dismantled because of a very dysfunctional setting. Many of them wind up being involved in crime and getting involved in things that would lead to a life that is wasted. And God established marriage so it would be that foundation. And then our point two last time about being a Christian at home was, what does a marriage do? And one of the things that we talked about, there was this ongoing theme, is that a marriage really today, based upon Scripture, resists the culture that we're looking at today. Our culture is trying to do everything it can to redefine marriage. What does a marriage do? And we looked at this. Number one, it binds two individuals together. It binds two people together. You know, when they come walking down the aisle and she looks amazing, he stands right about here. He is just absolutely excited, and he's looking. And he's not looking at anybody else, by the way. They open the doors, the wedding music is playing, and she comes down the aisle. I got to tell you, it's an amazing moment. People stand. And I always like to watch the groom, the husband-to-be, out the side of my eye right there. Because, first of all, I've done weddings before where, at that moment, she comes down and he goes down. Now, I don't know what it is. I want to believe that he's just absolutely blown away at her beauty. But when I see his knees lock and he starts shaking, you know something's coming. But it's such an amazing moment, and the intensity of the moment and all the stuff that's building up to it. But I tell you, it's so fun because they come down the aisle, the crescendo's coming together, maybe months, years in preparation. I know she's been thinking about it since she's about 3 years old. And the whole thing comes together, and there is this binding together that takes place. The friendship's been going on. It's now evolved to something greater. Now they've made that commitment, and they're going to announce it before their audience and friends, but chiefly, namely, before God. And then later that day, not too much later that day, they're going to consummate that marriage in wild marriage sex that they do, and that's the way it works, okay? So all this comes together for them to become one. And God has established that. It binds people together. Jesus said, as we looked at last time in Matthew 19, verses 4 to 6, that you have you not read that He who made them, in the beginning made them male and female, and He said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, bound together, glued together in body, soul, and spirit. So then they are no longer two, Jesus said, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let nobody separate. And that is a very, very powerful thing. Let no man separate. Keeping that in mind, this unity that takes place establishes this, a family order. We looked at that. Statistics show worldwide that a family works best when kids have a male-female mom and dad. And I know that goes against the grain of popular debate right now, but it is a sociological fact that a kid grows up most well-balanced with a mom and a dad being their mom and dad. And we live in a culture that has basically thrown marriage out the window. And if I were a young person here tonight, if I were you and you're single and you're young, I would be really, really searching hard and finding out what's the truth about all this stuff before you make that commitment to either be single or to be married. Find out what's the best thing for my future as you sit here tonight. And if you're single, are you going to have kids someday? How many kids are you going to have? Where are you going to live? You need to ask these very basic but life-altering questions. Because if you take the time to think this through now, it will really better your life in the future. God has an awesome plan for your life. And then we looked at how marriage and what it does, how it establishes a culture, and that is a culture of life. You guys, without a family, you don't have a society. And without a society, you don't have a nation. And that's very, very vital. All right, here we go. Point number three. This is what we tried to get through last time together. And I have brought this time. If you guys get out of hand, I have brought this fire extinguisher to help you through the evening. Now, I'm going to ask you to help me out here. I don't want you guys, if you have to laugh and giggle over this stuff, just cover your mouth. Because we're going to talk Bible here in regards to relationship. Point number three is where we left off at, and it's this: what gives in a marriage? And we looked at these things. This is what gives in a marriage. You and I do in a marriage. Friends, if you're heading into a marriage, listen up carefully. Very important. If you're in a marriage, stay tuned. Whenever you and I talk to somebody, that's important enough. But when we talk to our spouses, that's all important. How we talk to them, what we say to them, the tone of our voice. These things are absolutely vital. And we talked about how when you speak to someone that is going to be your husband or your wife, don't think for a moment that if you're going to speak to them in one tone now, that the day you say I do, all of that changes. Right now, you are involved possibly in an engagement. Then I want you to be praying and studying that engagement. How's it going? How does he speak to you? How does he treat you? How does she speak to you? How does she treat you? What's going on in that relationship? And what about in a marriage? Now listen, if you've been married and you're here tonight and it's been a rough marriage, don't think for a moment that, well, we'll just quit. We'll just give up. No, no, no. Take tonight's message and begin to apply tonight that you, being a Christian, let's assume we're all Christians tonight, that we are going to talk to one another as Christ would have us to speak to one another. Will we fail? Yes, we will fail because our flesh gets in the way. But how we talk to one another matters. And then what gives in a marriage is this. You and I do whenever we listen. We need to be listeners. This is a hard thing. Remember I talked about how hard it is for a guy to listen? Now women, do all you women listen? You guys just know how to listen, right? Something's tough about this for guys. Ladies, be patient with us. Train us. We talked about that. And here's where we left off. What gives in a marriage? You and I do whenever you look. A husband and a wife should always look at each other, as I said before, with affection and affirmation. This is important. There's not a woman in this building that appreciates one second her man's eyes wandering off at some other girl. Well, what are you doing looking? Oh, I was looking at the street sign over there. Listen, God has given women the ability to know that if your eyes are wandering, God says, hey, his eyes are wandering and she's going to get you. Listen, first of all, your eyes ought not to be wandering. You and I as men, I'm just talking to the guys right now. Girls, you can take a break. Men are visually stimulated people. Okay, all of that pornography, Playboy, Penthouse magazine, all that stuff that Satan produces. Have you noticed that those women that are in such things, they're not like the, and help me out here because I don't know this stuff, the Fifth Madison Avenue models that walk down the aisle. You know those models? They're like 9 feet tall and weigh 35 pounds. Those people, have you noticed? Those girls are selling clothes. They're selling clothes. None of those girls are in those other books. You know what I'm saying? Why? Satan knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly the fact that men are visually stimulated and respond to look, to what they see. Not so much so with women. They are more verbally captured. And this is a very serious thing because you and I live in a time, in an age where we are bombarded with these things. And no matter how young you might be tonight or how old you might be tonight, that temptation to either listen to someone who may be speaking terms of affection to you or someone who walks by, the temptation is there. And we have to fight that. And never more so in marriage. I told you before in Genesis chapter 26, verses 8 and 9, the power of look, the power of affection. When the Bible says that Abimelech looked out of his window and there Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, some of your Bibles say that he was showing her terms of endearment. You look it up in the Hebrew and it means that Isaac was showing Rebekah affection, flirtation. The word actually means to laugh or giggle. So you wonder what in the world was going on. Caressing and pressing into Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, quite obviously, she's not your wife. Why did you not tell me? Quite obviously, she's your wife. Why didn't you tell me that she was not your sister? And this is amazing stuff going on by affection, by look. This is very serious. This is how we should, in our culture, be dealing with ourselves. Are you involved with somebody? Then you need to be asking the Lord, Lord, govern over my eyes. Protect me. Because how I look, where I look with my eyes matters. It's going to go right into your heart. And again, as I said, we live in a culture and in a time that says that throw off all restraint. Do whatever feels good. You ever heard that before? If it feels good, do it. And we live in a culture that has taken what God has engineered, relationships and marriage and sex and all these things that God has made, and the world has reinterpreted for us, and then they spin it, and you and I get bombarded with it on every angle of our lives. What we hear and what we see, from the billboards to the commercials on TV to the ridiculous programs. And if you entertain that stuff, and listen, I'm not just picking on the ladies here. If a man is looking at this stuff, it's ridiculous, equally ridiculously nuts. And that is so many of these soap opera things. It's all about she's flirting with him and lusting after the other and cheating on them. And it sounds like I'm describing a country western song, aren't I? It all sounds the same, looks the same like that. You need to be very, very careful about that. Because it leads to a dead end. Why? Because in your mind you begin to think, you may not think so at first, but in your mind you begin to think, well, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. Because as it beats on us in this culture of, you know what, it's a gray line. It's not a fine line. It's a gray line. That in your life, if you begin to become promiscuous and you tolerate things in your life and come to church on Sunday, you got a Bible, but you know what? You know, I just dabble, you know, with a little bit of sex in this area or a little bit of this in that area. And that, you know, I'm sure God will forgive me. You need to be careful about that. The Bible says to flee from all appearances by the way of sin. The Bible says to run when we're tempted to run like Joseph ran. We need to be so, so absolutely careful. Why? Because the scriptures warn us that sexual sin messes with our head. It messes with our soul. And that is a tremendous thing. Now, follow along with me. This is where we ended last time. Song of Solomon, remember? Chapter 4. You can follow along. Turn there if you would. Chapter 4, verse 1. While you turn there, all you husbands, any husbands in here, raise your hands, your husbands. Okay. This is the way the husband's supposed to talk to his wife. Hey, wives, listen up. You need to mark this. You need to train your man how to talk to you. Now, remember, this is 3,000 years old, so we can kind of change it a little bit. And now, get control of yourself here. Don't laugh here and get funny. Chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, he says, remember, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like the flock of goats. We explained that in depth last time. Going down from Mount Gilead. That means her hair is beautifully wavy. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep. That means they're really super white. Which have come up from the washing. Every one of them bears twins and none of them is barren among them. She's got all of her teeth. She's looking good. Listen to this. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet. I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome stuff. Listen, that means he's looking at her lips. Hello? That's one of the most sensual things ever. It's quiet in here now. You guys are paying attention. This is good. He's looking at her lips. Maybe she's talking, or maybe she's just standing there, or maybe he's just remembering. And he said, man, your lips are like a strand of scarlet. That's pretty awesome. He's complimenting her. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Verse 6, listen to this. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. This guy's in love. Solomon is in love with her. When you're in love with somebody, do you see spots on them? Let me tell you something. If somebody says, oh, I love you, but man, you know what? I don't dig that freckle right there. If you could do some of that freckle, then we got a future. Then they don't love you. Something's weird there. Something's wrong. The old saying, love is blind. There's a lot of truth to that. That's the grace of God. I mean, look at us. I mean, you look good. But there's an amazing thing here that Solomon is teaching and speaking to us. And God has seen fit to preserve this for us today. He says in verse 8, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana. And from, he lists these regions of, in fact, one of my favorite in Hermon, beautiful snow-capped mountain. From the lion's dens, from the mountains of leopards, he describes this. Look at verse 9. You have ravaged my heart, my sister, my spouse. The sister's a reference to our faith. We believe in the same God. We are one. Listen, my spouse, you have ravaged my heart. Here it is. With what? With one look of your eyes. I want you to look at verse 6, until the day breaks. Do you know what that means? Hang on to your seats. It means that this husband and wife, they had been up all night with each other. I think that's pretty awesome. They're absolutely in love. Man, I don't know. He loved me, but now we got married and all that fun stuff's over. That's not good. You need to make sure that, as we talked about last time, that you date your husband and your wife all the way through the engagement, through the marriage, and for the rest of their lives. You need to keep it going. Those of you who are married, those of you who are single, do not listen to what I'm going to say right now. You're not allowed to hear this. Those of you who are married, listen. Go out and buy a book. It's a Christian book. It's a Christian book, but only married people ought to buy it. It's called Sheet Music. And let me tell you, don't read it unless you have some time. Because it is written by a Christian to Christians about the God who created marriage in the environment of sexual pleasure. It's absolutely amazing. Solomon would have said, I like the book. It's very, very amazing. What gives in a marriage? In this sense, you and I do, whenever we think. Will you jot that down? how we think. As Christians, we're fighting, as I mentioned, a constant battle against the forces of lust and immorality in this life, in this world, with all the things that are pressing against us, and our marriage and our relationships are under attack. There's a crisis in the home today, and I'm not talking financial. Listen, it's time for husbands to become men who protect and cover their wives. Christian men tonight, you need to make sure that you are protecting your wife. See, Jack, how do I do that? I want you, this is your homework if you're married. And you can do this if you're engaged. Put your arms around your wife or your wife-to-be and you pray over her. Lord, protect her. Lord, keep her pure. Lord, make us strong. Don't let us fall. If you're single, don't let us fall. Don't let us cross that line. But listen, husbands, cover your wives in prayer because listen, the moment your wife leaves the house, there's a whole world of men out there. And all it takes is one to ruin your home. It's time for wives to create and to display a home, perhaps, that is, or even a bedroom, perhaps, that invites her husband home. These things we need to be careful about. I've shared with you guys before in Sunday message a long time ago about model homes. Lisa and I love to go look at model homes and how clean and perfect they are. The only thing is nobody lives in them. And the fruit is fake. It's all wax. Nothing's real. It looks good, but nothing's real. And life, listen, life comes by, looks like life, looks fantastic. And it's got all of this allurement. Hey, come be with me. It may not be a model home, but maybe it's a model guy or a model girl. And wow, look at that. Oh, no, 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 don't look at that. You want to grab your eyes and turn away. Why? Because that's how the enemy enters in, begins to play with our minds, begins to affect the way that we think. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 5, verse 15, to his son. Solomon was a pretty cool dad, I take it. Listen to this. Mom and dad, listen up. You have kids? Listen to this. Do you have sons? Listen to this. I got to warn you. God has given us imagination. Okay? Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Listen to this. Proverbs 5, 15. Drink water from your own cistern. Cistern, that's a well of water. In other words, don't go drink water at someone else's well. You know what I'm talking about? And running water from your own well. Should your fountain be dispersed abroad? You know what I'm talking about? If you're going to take your pants down at home. Right? Not at somebody else's house. That would be, you know what I'm talking about? Streams of water in the streets. He said, don't do that. Let them be only your own and not for strangers. Wow. Let your fountain be blessed. This is God speaking to us through Solomon. And he's telling this to his son. Hey, son, I want your fountain blessed. Okay, Dad. Right on. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. Is that awesome? We're not going to look at what the word rejoice means. You can look at it later. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you always at all times. And always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Mom and dad, you got kids? Have you sat down and told them what's up and what's not and which way to go and where to stay out of? Listen, this is a dangerous thing. We'll cover this in some weeks ahead, but this is a big deal. Have you sat down to tell your young kids about the birds and the bees? Watch this. Most Christian parents, no, we don't talk about that. We're Christians. Oh, that's brilliant. So you're going to let the public school system tell them about it. Because that's exactly what's going on. Who's going to... Listen, in this world, If your kid's 12 or 13 years of age, they probably already know it. Oh, no, not my kid. Especially your kid. If you're saying, not my kid, probably your kid for sure. Why? It's not because your kid's bad or you're bad. It's because this world is wicked and innocence is under attack. Mom and dad, listen, I don't know what you got to do, but dad, take your son out on a drive. Go to a baseball game. I don't care what it is. Take a hike. Go up the mountain and say, son, here's the deal. This is what we're going to talk about. And I got to tell you, you know what? About 5 minutes into it, you're going to turn every shade of red under the sun. And then once it's over, it's great. And your son will think, I mean, I can talk to my dad about anything. You'll be a hero. Won't feel like it at that moment, but wow. But don't be surprised. And listen, if you say, son, and we need to talk about something, and then here's the deal. Have you ever thought about where babies come from? Listen, he'll probably say, Dad, I already know all this. Okay, then if you already know all this, then let's run through it one more time. But let me add this to it. This is a spiritual situation we're talking about when God engineered sex. It is created by God. And we get this thing in our minds, well, we're Christians, we can't talk about that. Are you kidding me? Our God made it. We need to get it back from the world that's abused it and ruined it. God did this. Don't you Christians only have sex when you're going to have a kid? I mean, right? And then even then, what? No. Number one thing, God created sex for pleasure. Number two, for propagation. Pleasure first, kids later. God made it that way. We get this bizarre thinking, this Puritan type of thinking that, well, nope, nope. No, God says yes, yes. In the area of marriage. But how we think really, really matters. And Solomon is warning his son. Son, stay away from the seductress. And there are people, listen, there are people in this world. They may not even understand it themselves, but because you're a Christian, you are an enemy to the kingdom of darkness. Satan can't stand you, hates you, wants to see your life destroyed. There's people that you know. There's people at the company you work at or on your street. There's people, maybe there's people that you know somehow, some way that they have thoughts about being with you and they don't even care. It's all about themselves being satisfied. But what's the end result? Your life's destroyed. Oh, they're just flirting. Are you kidding? And you've all seen that happen. I've seen it happen. Working at a corporation for 13 years. I remember I was sitting in my cubicle. I'll never forget it. I'm not going to say their names. I remember their names because of what I heard. This girl came up to the guy that's in the cubicle next to mine. And she said, you know what? Please forgive me. I just find you so incredibly attractive because you are such a hard worker. And I really respect that. I find that irresistible. Sorry. Bye. Okay, I don't know what her motive was. Maybe you ladies do. But I know this. He's ruined. Because guess what he's thinking now? Every time he sees her, guess what? It wasn't long till they were together. She was single, and he was married. We've all seen it. How does it start? By what's lodged in our minds and how we think, what's in there. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. A lot of Christians get suited up and they run out of the house, but they forget to put their helmet on. All these thoughts get shoved into our heads and dangled in front of us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of Satan. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That would be easy. I'm not much of a wrestler. But I think guns are cool. I'm a Second Amendment guy. I think guns are cool. George Washington and I would have gotten along just fine. And if you think I'm a weirdo, you should see my daughters shoot guns. They're really good at shooting guns. And so don't mess with my daughters because they can shoot guns. But it would be easy if you could shoot your enemy. But we can't do that. Our enemy is supernatural. You can launch a nuclear device against Satan. He's still standing there after the big flash. You and I as Christians, we wrestle against powers that are invisible. And you cannot see. And the Bible says that we need to be very careful about that, and that we need to bring these powers that come against us into the sights as we use God's words against the enemy. I mentioned, and this is the book of the month, Stormy O'Mardian's book, The Power of a Praying Husband. She says in that book that she interviewed thousands of women who said that for them, sex begins hours, if not a day or more, before anything physical ever takes place. Now listen, us guys are going, what? She says in the book, sex for women, she's speaking on behalf of women who've responded to her interview, that it begins days in advance, hours, days in advance. Where does it begin? Ladies, help me out. Where does it begin? In the mind. Thinking, thoughts, that's how powerful things are. We need to be very, very careful. In the same token, are you married? Yep. Then listen, husband, put thoughts in her head. Come on. Put those thoughts there. Both of you, husband and wife, ought to be putting thoughts there. Hey, what time will you be home tonight? What's the day? Why? Well, you know, I don't know. Why are you asking? I just thought, you know what? The kids are gone, or the, you know, what do you think? And some people have their little clues, their little things, you know, like maybe it's the night. Look, it's the night. No. And some couples have actually developed clues. I'm not joking about this. And I've heard some couples say, you know what, we brush our teeth. That's one of the indicators. Because it's kind of hard to just walk up and say, hey, you know what? It's pretty quiet around here. You want to? You can't do that. That's not putting it in the mind. That's not. Notice, Solomon, your lips are like a strand of scarlet. Now, that could be a clue. You call your wife tomorrow while she's at work and say, you know what? The study last night? Yeah. Well, your lips are like a strand of scarlet. I'm reading you loud and clear. But you can say things like this. You looked really great this morning when you went to work, and I can't wait to see you tonight. Start speaking and putting things into her head. And listen, those of you who are engaged, you know, you got to be careful how you say these things. So you don't start some sort of fire going on there, because you got to put this in your pocket. But as a single man who is dating a girl and you're getting very serious, when you say, you know what, you look beautiful tonight, you can understand something. Her heart jumps when you say that. Women love to look beautiful. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, you know that famous statement of his? Dr. J. Vernon McGee, you guys know who I'm talking about? That guy's been dead forever, and he's the most listened to Bible teacher in the entire world. Dr. J. Vernon McGee says that as husband and wife, when you come home at night from work and see one another and greet one another, he says you need to make sure that you refresh yourself and look nice. I praise the Lord, Lisa, all our lives. Lisa has always refreshed herself before I've gotten home. It's just beautiful. It speaks volumes to me. She makes sure that her hair is all done up and she looks all nice every day. It's amazing. J. Vernon McGee said this. He said, listen, ladies, he said, somebody had wrote him. She knew, my husband wants me to wear makeup. And what do you say about that, Dr. McGee? And he said, hey, lady, listen, if the barn needs painting, paint it. But I should say, for us guys, if we need to lose 10 pounds, lose it, right? Whatever it takes. But we need to be very, very careful about that. It's very important. Your homework as a gathering tonight, as a church tonight, think about this. I'd like you to take this home for your homework. If you're a husband and wife, or if you can handle it, if you're engaged, Begin to hold her hand. Now, when you're engaged, you can't let go of her hand. It's sad when you see married couples who can't hold hands. That hurts. That's sad. Guys, husbands, I want you to start holding her hand. You don't know my wife. Be a man and hold her hand. And if she pushes your hand away, just keep trying until you wear her out. Okay? And then ladies, this isn't hard. This is hard. It's just as hard as a guy reaching out for your hand as you doing this, ladies. Compliment your man. Amen. Compliment him. Yeah. See, but Jack, you know what? He's just a short little bald guy and he rolls around. Then you tell him, man, you are the cutest, shortest little bald guy I have ever seen. And you just drive me crazy. Compliment. Say things that are nice. Start practicing it. Can you do it? It's okay. It's absolutely something that we should be doing. Reach for her hand. Turn to him and say something nice. You can do that. Also this, what gives in a marriage? You and I do, whenever we touch. When we touch. And listen, this is a big deal. Sexual and non-sexual touch is a powerful part of a relationship of marriage. Non-sexual touch, this is amazing to me. Guys, are you with me? I'm 51 years old, I'm still learning this. I don't know if I have enough time in my life to get this. But I'm trying. There's nothing more exciting for Lisa than for us to go to Blockbuster Video and rent I Love Lucy. And she wants to sit down and watch I Love Lucy with my arm around her. Okay? Women, what do you think about that? You like that, see? Guys. We can't do that. We can put our arm around you. We have our arm around you. And isn't she funny? Look at that. Isn't Ricky funny? And it's like, yeah, he's funny. It's great. We are like a Doberman pincher sitting there, and there's a cat, you know, in front of the window. It's hard for us, but we will do it because we love you. But it's hard. Understand us. It's hard for us. And that is something that is so powerful, because when you do that outside of marriage, the guy, he's the same male before the wedding as after the wedding. Same biology, same mind. In fact, I wrote it down. Where did I put it? It's hard to even imagine this. But here it is. Psychologists and family counselors have concluded that an average male has a sexual thought every 20 seconds. I don't know how they figured that out. Every 20 seconds. How does that happen? I'm not even quite sure how that happens. But this is a big deal. Touch is a big deal. Those of you who are single, be careful. Because touch leads to things. Oh, we're just making out. We had Elizabeth Elliott speak at this church. She said to this church, you shouldn't be able to tell someone you love them without in the same sentence saying, I love you, will you marry me? Because if you go around saying, I love you, what does that mean? What are you doing? I love you. Gosh, I love you too. I mean, I love you. You love me? Yeah. I love you. Great. What do? You stand right over there and I'll stand right here. For how long? What does the Bible say? Love deferred makes the heart grow sick. Be very careful. Well, we'll just hold each other this way. I've actually talked to people who said, we haven't had sex being single. She just takes her clothes off on that side of the room. I'm serious. And I take my clothes off on this side of the room. We haven't touched each other. Are you kidding? That still goes into your mind. It's going to affect you in your life. God loves you. He wants you to have an incredible life. And all this stuff that you feel, designed by God, it's how we manage it. It's what we do with it. It's absolutely important. Christianity is not something that we leave out of the church parking lot, and by the time we get home, it's gone. No, no, no. It works most and best in the home. Christianity is to be done, not to be talked about. And this is vitally important. Trust me. If those of you who are here tonight and you don't know anything about Jesus, know anything about the power of God, and this, all this stuff sounds like foreign talk to you, listen, it's amazing, because if you put into practice what God has engineered for your life, you will succeed radically. You'll be blessed. But if you go around and you give yourself over and over to people, you are ruining your life. You say, no, I'm not having a great time. No, you're not. You're not having a great time. Oh, yeah, it feels really great. You know what? You don't know nothing, with all due respect. Because so much of intimacy is based upon your psyche, how you think and what you feel. It's very, very important. And touch is so very powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul said, it is good for a man, listen, not to touch a woman. It's erotic touch. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. We were wired by God for sex. In a marriage, a house, a home, it should be going on. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. God engineered it. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is to be honored by all, and the marriage bed is undefiled. That's pretty amazing. Touch, both sexual touch, non-sexual touch, holding hands, holding each other. Husbands, this is your homework. Before you guys part ways tomorrow, pray for your wife. Touch her, grab her, put your arms around her, pray for her, put your hand on her shoulder, pray for her. See, I leave too early in the morning. Then you know what? You leave early in the morning, she's still in bed, you put your hands on her forehead or her shoulder or whatever, and you pray for her. Just supernaturally do that. But by all means, God has engineered us to be creatures in His image. The Bible tells us, we don't need to go through it, we've looked at it before, but the Scriptures teach us in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, over and over again, that we've been created in the image of God. And we are not animals. Animals have sex because they reproduce. It is a survival, God-engineered propagation of animal life. The Bible says that when God created Adam and Eve, let me read it to you. Genesis 2:21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and the Lord took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then, listen, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam, he made into woman and brought her to man, that is to Adam, made her, brings her to Adam, and Adam says, listen, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Adam looked at Eve and said, I think I like ribs. I mean, can you imagine? God does everything perfect. Can you imagine God bringing Eve to Adam? That must have been amazing. And the Scripture says that he called her woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, the next verse is, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, that's body, soul, and spirit, physical union, emotionally committed, spiritually united. And they were both naked, man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Listen, I don't know what you've been taught, but you're not an animal. But Hollywood wants you to have sex all around town like you're an animal. Because Satan hates the fact that you were created in the image of God. Did you know Satan's an angel? You know that. He's a fallen angel. Angels were not created in the image of God. Angels are altogether different. In fact, the Bible says angels are servants of the Lord, and in eternity, they will serve us. The Bible even says we will judge angels in the end. Boy, are we going to get smart. You were created in the image of God, and Satan hates you for that. He wants your life destroyed. Why do you think marriage is under attack? Why do you think children are being molested and destroyed? Why do you think that... I mean this. I don't know, I may offend you when I say this, but this is my conviction. I don't know if this show's even still on anymore, but there was a program on that it took contestants in a show, and they did the most degrading, ridiculous, horrible thing. They would eat like pig guts. Fear Factor. I couldn't watch the show. I can't stand that program for this one reason. I believe, I felt in my heart, I had to take my eyes away from it because it was a destruction of man created in the image of God. And so when somebody thinks, if you're here tonight and you think, well, man, I got to kind of loosen it up to get the guys. You've been created in the image of God, girl. You are so valuable just because you fail to recognize it. Watch out. God loves you. You are incredibly valuable. You don't give it up to get acceptance. Maybe you were brought up and situations of your life have brought you to that place. I want you to hear tonight. I want you to understand. You are more precious than gold. God loves you with an everlasting love. If you've been abused in life, guess what? Only through Jesus Christ can you be made anew. And that can happen right now in 1 second of time. He's the Redeemer. And I'll leave you this because we're out of time. As husband and wife, you have got to be able to take your husband and your wife. It'd be best if both of you could just get together and maybe just fall on your knees and say, Lord, we're yours. Bless our marriage. Listen, I tell you what. I got to be careful because my family's here tonight. When you're married with kids, you get creative. When Lisa and I felt like hugging, you know? And our kids were little. Especially Rebecca, our oldest. You need to thank God that our daughter Rebecca does not work for the IRS. Because if she did, you'd be investigated. She should work for CSI. And Lisa and I would, you know, it's Saturday morning, we feel like hugging. And you go to lock the door. The bedroom, by the way, the bedroom, husband and wife, mom and dad, your bedroom should be sacred zone, sacred territory. People, they shouldn't go traipsing through your bedroom. Hey, what's going on? No, you stop at the door. Get your foot broke, you get any further than that. But, mom, dad, and little kids, mostly children, period, are like birth control, little living birth control devices. You know what I'm saying? Can somebody say amen? Mom, dad, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. Mom, dad. What? What are you doing? You know what we used to do? We can tell them this now. This is going to ruin their mind here in about 3 seconds. We used to tell them, go away from the door. We're talking about your Christmas gifts. Because that's the only way we could get them away from the door. Pastor Jack, you are lying to your children. That's right. That's exactly correct. And a parent can only can always see when the feet under the door, the feet leave, the feet walk away. All that to tell you this, that Christian husband and wife, if you're not doing this, you're going to start tonight. That when you're done being together as a husband and wife, which, by the way, Satan hates that. Because I'm going to speak for all of us guys. Ladies, you're not going to believe us, but here's the deal. I'm not married to you, so you got to believe me, because I'm not going home with you. You got to listen to me. Us guys, you know when we feel the closest to you and we just feel like we just feel totally liberated and free? And that's the moment, by the way, to ask us for anything is right when we've been together. You just feel all cuddly goofy. Capitalize on that. Know that. Understand that. Understand that. But when a husband and wife have come together, I'm asking all husbands in this church that you're laying there and you should just say this, Lord, I mean, you start praying right then and there. You say, are you kidding me? Listen, God was there the whole time. And you say, Lord, thank you for our marriage. Thank you for this time together. Lord, protect our marriage. Don't let any woman get into this marriage. Don't let any man get into this marriage. Lord, build an absolute kryptonite bubble around this marriage and kill anybody who seeks to destroy it. I mean, that's how I pray. Just kill anybody. Just kill anybody who seeks to destroy this marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? Your wife will just go, wow, let's do that again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that we of all people, our God, created marriage. You've made us. Your word has directed and guided our path, given us instruction. Satan hates us. The world has commandeered your glorious gifts and seeks to destroy. We're asking, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now for all those who are single in this gathering tonight, that you would protect them against temptation, against all the stuff that this world pushes on them. And Lord, that you'd give them self-control, which is one of the blessed characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And Father, that there would be a tremendous revival in the marriages of this church. Father, that we would be people, as men, first of all, that would pray up and build a shield of protection over our wives and our families by prayer. And Father, that as wives, there would be a castle environment set up where this home is place of great joy. And Father, that children would see moms and dads hugging and kissing and flirting with each other again. And Lord, that daughters would be able to say, I want to be like them when I grow up. And that young boys would say, I want to be like my dad. I want to lead like he leads. I want to lead like he loves this home. And Father, I'm praying right now that those that are listening, that they would take seriously these things. The church has abandoned this area for too long. And the world rushes in where the church is not. And I'm asking, Father, that you'd heal, bless, restore, make great, keep great the marriages that are here tonight. And I pray, Father, for those that are engaged, that you keep them pure, that they would be focused on the Word. And Lord God, that you would show them that if this relationship is of you, that you would bring it to pass. And Father, we pray right now that you would be incredibly honored in our relationships. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand as we close in prayer together.